You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Government failed Flint. It's pretty tough to dispute that statement, knowing what we all do about how the Flint water crisis came to be and how it was dismissed and denied by bureaucrats and officials at all levels of government. Entrepreneur, investor, and philanthropist Joseph Sandberg believes we should work through the boardroom to help address working class problems, not wait for government. He's the investing founder of the home meal delivery service Blue Apron, and he's the co-founder of the online financial firm Aspiration. It lets people pay what they think is fair for their services. He's speaking in Flint tomorrow and in Lansing on Saturday, and he is with us now. Joe, welcome to Stateside.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You argue that the best way to push for progressive policies and initiatives is through boardrooms, not in state capitals, not in the Beltway. Why is that?
Well, I think it's one of the important ways. I think that we should use every tool at our avail. And that means politics, public policy, philanthropy, and using business as a force for good. But if you look over the past 30 years, the progressive movement hasn't enough utilized business as a force for good, that our interaction with business has been only in setting regulations. And setting regulations for business is really important. What also is important is the kind of businesses that exist. I think in particular, Gen X and millennials believe that what business does matters, that there ought to be a different standard for business leadership. It ought not be just what can you do as a business person. It ought to be what should you do as a business person. You know, moreover, when you look at business people who've been leaders in the progressive movement, they aren't always called to account for how they made their money and what their businesses do. But your values either mean everything or nothing. And if you're a progressive, that also means that what your business does and how you conduct your private sector life needs to be aligned with your values, or your values aren't authentic. With the power of the internet, there's so many new ways that we can use business as a force to create real change and actually fix things. Fix things that are broken, like the food sector's inability to reach so many working families who are afflicted by food deserts. How the financial industry has failed to serve almost everyone, and how it creates a misalignment between what's good for the company and what's good for people. Those are examples of problems that we can actually fix by creating different kinds of businesses with different models that are purposed to solving problems and serving people rather than serving themselves. My vision for business is profit is fine, and it ought to be a byproduct, though, of doing good in the world and serving people, rather than the intention itself of a business.
I'm thinking of a quote. I see you were quoted at a recent speech, and I thought it was an intriguing quote. Here is what you said. We're coming off this era where capitalism has been kidnapped by this godlessness that treats people like mathematical variables of consumption and production.
Yes, I believe that. And I think what cuts across business, political, media, and academic leadership over the last 30 years is this. We've come to treat people as units of things, units of votes, units of consumption, units of production, units of viewership, all things that can be reduced into letters or numbers. That there's almost this view in leadership that if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. And we've become unanchored from what actually makes us special, which is we're all human. And the reason we matter is not because of what we can do for others or do in the world, but because we're fundamentally human. And by being human, if you believe that being human means that there's something special that can't be measured, then that ought to inform how you build organizations, how you treat people as a business, how you treat people as a leader, right? But if you don't view people as human beings, if you view them instead as cells that can be moved around in Microsoft, then it leads us to the really bad outcomes and bad views of leadership that have failed places like Flint. Because if you don't see people as humans, then you don't understand the moral charge to treat everyone as important because they are important. Instead, you end up in a place where you can sacrifice the well-being of some or many to advance the prosperity of others. Simply put, this view of leadership, unanchored from humanity, has led us to this place where we can justify so many things in the name of aggregate prosperity and aggregate GDP.
Joe, I think conventional wisdom certainly leans toward the view that the Republican Party has, shall we say, cornered the market on corporate interests with its platform that favors lower taxes and fewer regulations and other business-friendly policies. Why would CEOs and other business leaders be interested in what you're selling? What is your sales pitch to them?
Well, my message isn't directed to CEOs. It's directed to people. Because the way we change corporate behavior is by pulling those corporations through our collective power as consumers. One of the great chances we have as progressives is to expand our view of organizing to also include how we organize ourselves as consumers. The power of our money is significant, but we deeply underutilize it. I think there's a movement afoot now, in particular in the wake of the election, that people want to match their money and their values. They want to bank with places that don't use their deposits to fund morally reprehensible projects. They want to invest their money in ways that are aligned with their values, and they want to spend their money in ways that are aligned with their values. Of course, I care about speaking directly to CEOs and getting them to change their behavior, but the much more significant opportunity is creating a movement among all of us as consumers to pull businesses toward the good through the power of our collective spend, investing, and consumption.
As you speak to the Rotary Club of Flint tomorrow, you're going to have business and community leaders in front of you. How are you going to be tailoring your national message to fit what's happened there?
Well, first, it's going to be a message of solidarity that the pain of those in Flint is my pain. It's all of our pain because we're all interconnected as humans and we're all in this together and we all rise or fall together. It's a message that I think those in Flint need to project onto leaders in Flint and everywhere else, that we matter because we're all in this together. And the path forward for business, politics, media, and leadership across the board is starting with that first principle, the why. Why does it matter that we actually have to fix things? Why is it morally outrageous that something like Flint happens? Because we're humans. Because our lives mean something. Because there's something special about being human. We can't let this happen to other people, that, you know, we have to reinvigorate a sense of solidarity. And that if you believe that, there's a very specific vision for leadership that you have, which first starts with you have to fix things. And if you believe the stakes are really high, then you don't settle for incremental change. You're unsatisfied by anything less than wholesale change that actually fixes the pain and suffering that afflicts so many people. You know, we're all almost suffering in some way or another. And that's why we're all in this together. 75% of Americans can't weather a $700 financial shock. That means that 3/4 of us are living in this constant state of financial stress, financial anxiety, looking over our shoulders, wondering, well, if a family member gets sick, if something happens to my car, something happens to my apartment, will I be able to weather that financial shock? And if you're living like that, you're not able to be your best self. And we all experience those kinds of anxieties at one time or another. The difference between being high income, middle income, and low income is, do you experience that kind of stress once a year or once every couple of years? Or do you experience that kind of stress every single minute of the day? But it's an experience that brings us all together because it's fundamentally a human experience. And when we remember that it's a human experience, we see that we're in this together, and we recognize why it's crucial that we actually fix things.
Entrepreneur, investor, and philanthropist Joe Sandberg will be speaking to the Flint Rotary Club tomorrow and then at the Michigan Progressive Summit in Lansing on Saturday. Thanks for spending time with us today, Joe.
Thank you.